Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, May 18th. We're back. We energized, right, Jen?
I don't know.
No, you're not.
I'm tired.
Not feeling refreshed and re-energized.
No.
I know. It was so hard for me to get up this morning.
Yeah. I mean, the weather is still gloomy.
You think it's the weather, huh? When the sun doesn't shine into your eyes in the morning, I think it does affect how you get up.
Well, I think it's that coupled with the fact that I had a very busy weekend, so it was not relaxing for me at all.
Right.
I'm not really energized.
Your weekends are usually busier than your weekdays, right?
No, they're about the same, I would say. It's just, it's like, when you work in this field, I think that your days just aren't, they don't feel like weekdays necessarily. Every day is just a day.
Right.
And like Saturday, I had a seminar all day for AfterBuzz. So I worked Saturday for 3 hours and, you know, I had a friend in town. I was just really busy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Keeps you out of trouble and stuff. You know?
Yes.
Did you guys go out? So your friend was in town. Did you go to nice places?
Well, I saw him and his friends that he was also visiting. All of us got together Saturday night for a little bit.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Then I had to see other people. We went bowling. Then there was a whole other thing on Friday night that I had to see people. And then last night was family dinner. And yesterday was the Beverly Hills Art Show. There was a lot this weekend.
It was a lot, huh?
What did you do?
Okay. Well, I did the exact opposite.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. No, I spent time with the family, with my parents and stuff, and worked a little bit here as well. But it was good. I did a lot of research on Uber and stuff. You know, I talked to a person who's driving, and it sounds pretty interesting. You know, I mean, there are some downsides to it, you know, like drunk people that vomit in your car and stuff.
Yeah, but they cover it. Like, I think you can make $250 or something.
Yeah, exactly. But would you want to deal with it?
You just take it to be washed.
Yeah, I know. But until then, your car stinks like, But the guy told me, he says, it rarely happens.
Right.
Know, so
you could also drive at different times. You don't have to drive at night.
Right. Except everybody's driving in the day, and it's cheaper rates and everything. You know,
yeah.
There's more. But the more I think about it, the more I realize I don't really have the time. I mean, I don't even have time to finish my work here. That's why I'm up until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Not because I'm playing around.
Right.
So if I use all that time to drive, when am I going to do all my work? So I don't know if it's going to work out for me. Maybe just on the weekends a little bit or something. You know?
Yeah, you can make your own schedule. That's great about it.
Yeah, the nice thing is you can do it whenever you want, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's it sounds good. And, you know, and he told me, he says, you meet cool people and stuff sometimes, you know. So, you know, he's got a hair salon, and he says he got two clients so far. He's only been driving for like 3 weeks. And people just ask him, you know, what do you do? And he tells them, and they come in and do color and all that stuff. So,
cool.
Yeah, I know. So you never know, you know. We do have a guest in the studio. We're going to get to him in a few minutes. Very interesting stuff, I think. And there's a few things. I mean, do you happen to see like kids with smartphones all the time? I mean, you do, right?
Like
kids.
What kind of kids?
Any kid. Any kid you see out there with people and stuff, like when you go to the mall, when you go to the store.
Like young kids?
Young kids, like school age.
I would say probably like teenagers, yeah.
Okay.
But
because,
like not kid, like children.
Really? You don't see that because I see it all the time. I mean, either tablets or phones, and almost everybody has them, you know. I mean, a 1.5-year-old in the family, she won't give up those phones and those tablets, and it's, you know, and the parents try to keep her away from it, but they have a mind of their own, you know. So I don't know. I mean, how do you not introduce it to them when everybody else has got a phone around them, you know?
I mean, I don't think a 1.5-year-old should necessarily have a phone.
Right. Well, it's not theirs, of course.
Right.
But, you know, they see it, they want to play games, blah, 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 and then they want it. Once they play once, they're hooked. But look what they're saying. They did a study, and they found that schools that ban phones the kids do a lot better in, on tests and things like that. The kids perform better. So there's an argument for keeping phones away at least while your kids are in school.
Yeah.
You know, because it obviously distracts them and stuff, you know.
I'm sure it does. It's just, I think, also a matter of safety. Like, I remember I got a cell phone because of safety.
Right. So, but you know what? What did everybody do before there were cell phones, you know? And besides, you can give them a regular cell phone, not a smartphone. So then they can just call.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that makes sense if you give your kid... I don't know what cell phones even exist out there that aren't smartphones at this point, but...
Maybe for kids they have something. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But they're saying that it's apparently so. So, you know, I mean, again, I don't know why a kid needs a phone in school. You know, let's say even if it's a smartphone, okay, keep it in your bag. Don't use it, only for emergency. They're not going to do it. You know, the kids are going to use it. So
I think while in class, they shouldn't be using it. But, I mean, I don't know.
But, look, on breaks, I think it would affect their socialization and stuff like that as well. You know, if you just stand off on your own and look at your phone all the time.
That's true.
Look at adults doing that, you know.
Yeah, true.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. So, I mean, what would you do if your neighbors were very loud making love? What would you do? I mean, would you say anything? Because last night I went to bed hearing them screaming, and then this morning I'm getting up in the morning and this couple's making love and they're really loud because they're keeping the window open. The thing is, do you say anything or you just kind of let go? I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter. But I mean, if they're like kids around or something, or people that don't care to hear that.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I would probably call. Well, is your building condos or rented?
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, it's a rental place.
So I'd probably tell the manager that, like, there's like a noise complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say
what it was,
but I'd say, like, they would know, really loud.
Yeah, that's true. People are complaining you guys are loud. They'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, close your windows.
Yeah, exactly. Close your friggin' window.
Right.
And this is like from the back of the building. I can hear it. It's not like it's next to me.
Oh, well, then that's even better, because if they're not directly next to you, then they won't know it's you who complained.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not that kind of a neighbor. I mean, I have a couple of neighbors that have dogs there and they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not going to be the bad neighbor as long as they don't bother me.
Right.
You know. So what are you going to do? You know, things happen and... There was this big brawl in Texas. Did you hear about that one with the bikers and stuff?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know what that thing was about, but they arrested over like just about 200 people.
Yeah, I think 9 people were killed.
Really?
Yeah, they met at a bar to discuss like turf situations.
Really?
Like whose turf is whose. Like,
wow.
They took, I think, Sons of Anarchy real too seriously. Like,
right, huh?
Really. That's just absurd. I don't even.
But that's what gangs do, right? I mean,
yeah,
so there's
a bike gang.
Yeah, so that's a bike gang.
But what is a bike gang?
I don't know. Probably.
What's the point? Just hang out with your friends and stop.
A gang is someone who wants territory, like you said.
Right.
You know? I mean, they're trying
what
to divide
What world
up.
Do they think they're living in? Like, I don't know, the Wild West?
Yeah. Well, Texas, you know. It is the Wild West there still.
Is it?
People carry guns openly there.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But, like, what is the point of their turf? Like, what are you doing on your turf that other people can't come on your turf?
Yeah.
Your bike, I just don't even. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Gangs in general are absurd. But bike gangs to me just sound like completely ridiculous.
Right. Except, you know, it gives people something to belong to.
You're also grown-ups.
Yeah, exactly. But
you have a bike. How does that a gang? I can't. There are things that just don't make any sense to me. That is one of them.
Things that make you go, you know.
I guess. I don't actually. Like, I get it's in the news and it's a thing that happened, but I'm like, there are so many bigger things out there right now that I'm like, I can't wrap my head around these silly people.
Yeah. What about Mad Men? Are you disappointed it's over? Did you ever watch it?
I never got into it.
Yeah, huh?
I'm sad about it because I do want to, like, be part of that culture that everyone's like obsessed with Mad Men. Like at family dinner last night. Would
you
have
been though? I mean, you had plenty of time to do it.
If I didn't start watching something, I'm not a person that like goes back and watches. There's now too many new things that I'm like, I can't keep up with those things and then watch the new things too. Something's got to give.
Right.
I mean, there's only so much time in a day.
Right. So you're saying if Mad Men had stayed, you would have gotten into it now.
No, I wish had I started watching it a long time ago, I would be upset that it probably ended.
Right.
But I never got into it. But I wish that I did because my family talks about it. Like, you know, the things that like my family watches, I probably wish that I had been up to date on. Mm. Like they watched Breaking Bad. They watched House of Cards. They watched Homeland. And everyone's talking about it even last night. And I'm like, la, 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 don't tell me. I stopped watching some of them because they would actually spoil it for me. And so I never caught up. And now they're still talking about it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah,
Left out. Family.
Yeah.
Left out.
I know. But I can't believe some of the posts on Facebook. I mean, come on. It's just a TV show, you know. But people are totally bummed out.
Did you watch it?
No, I never watched it.
I also never watched Lost. Or 24.
Oh, that one I watched.
Yeah.
24, I only watched the first one before it became a series. They just made it like a mini series, you know, that happened for 24 episodes.
Yeah.
Each episode was... No, I'm sorry. Each episode was an hour of a 24-hour day, right? So I remember the first one was good, but, you know, series, again, it's too big an investment for me. You know, I mean, the most I dedicate myself to is a half hour sitcom or something. So, but I can't get into those either. So, you know, so much for TV. I'm paying like $60 cable TV just to see CNN and Fox News. And that's about all I watch and BBC, you know, news. So, yeah, I don't have the time. And, you know, if I do have the time, I'd rather read than sit and watch TV. To me, it's a little more interactive. You know, but what can I say? Obama joined Twitter. That's important to know.
Wasn't he on Twitter?
Apparently not. So he's on there now. And that's it.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I know that there's a POTUS account.
Right.
But
that's the one.
Right.
That's the one at POTUS. That's what it says. It says at POTUS.
This is a new article like about it. Him just joining.
Yeah. It's on the it's on the front page, May 18.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Wait. Follow him.
Wait a minute. It's official after years of signing BO at the end of at Barack Obama. Okay. Oh, so now it's his own handle, whatever that means. I don't know. He had at Barack Obama. Now he has at POTUS. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Okay, and his first tweet 1 hour ago was, "Hello, Twitter, it's Barack." Really? 6 years in, they're finally giving me my own account.
Okay. So the president does have a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. No, he's funny.
Yeah. That's true. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I'm in. Like, I think he's really funny.
Cool.
That's part of, like, his charm, I think. You know, people probably can't always separate that too. Like,
right.
Well, okay. You know what it was? He has Barack Obama News.
Mm.
That's the account he had. And okay. So now he's POTUS.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now we know exactly who he is. All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring in our guest now, who's sitting here patiently and thankfully, I might add. We have Mr. Renard Cohen in the studio. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. And you're a film producer, director, so forth. You've produced and created, actually, a documentary called Groundswell Rising. And so tell us a little bit about what the film is about.
Okay. The full name is Groundswell Rising, Protecting Our Children's Air and Water. And it's a film about the resistance to the gas drilling practice of fracking that is going on all over the country and now coming to California, from what I understand. It's a very multi-layered issue. There's a lot to understand about it. Unfortunately, most people have no idea really what it is. They see the commercials on TV proclaiming that this is the bridge fuel to the future. Unfortunately, there are a lot of problems with it, from its effect to climate change, to water pollution, air pollution, chemicals that are released that are making people sick. And so people need to understand so they can make intelligent decisions about it. And there is a groundswell rising of understanding. And communities are joining together to keep it out of their communities. It's a heavy industry with all the ramifications of that, the truck traffic, the pollution, the lights, the sounds 24 hours a day. And people are beginning to understand and going to their local authorities to say, protect us from this. Mm. And in our film, you see that happening, and people are being successful in doing that. So it's an uplifting film in many ways.
Sounds good. Now, tell us what fracking is, for those who don't know. I mean, I've heard of it. I've read a little bit about it. I still don't quite understand.
Okay. Well, fracking is the short name for slick water hydraulic fracturing, which I'm probably forgetting some of the words in that. There's a very long name. What it basically is, it's a method for getting natural gas out of the ground. What they do is they put a borehole a mile down, and then they turn it horizontally and go out for 2 miles. Okay, now that's pretty far distance.
Yes.
Along this pipe, there are perforations, okay? And then what they do is they put between 5 and 8 million gallons of fresh water, which can never be used as water again after this process, laced with up to 500 different chemicals, okay, including biocides to keep there are life forms down there that do what's called biofouling the pipe. So they got to kill all those. And to push water at high pressure that distance, they have to add what's called slickeners, okay? You know, it's like an oily thing to make those frictionless. Those are also very toxic, okay? So there are many chemicals that go down. Some of them are carcinogenic. Some of them are benign, but they're not good for you. They push all this stuff in, and then what they do is, in these perforations, they do little explosions, and they cause like mini earthquakes all along. Oh, one of the things they add is something called silica sand, which is a very fine sand. So they have these little explosions. The sand goes into the fissures that are opened up so they can't close up again. And when they suck all this water and stuff out, the gas comes with it, the gas that's stuck in these fissures.
Right.
The thing that most people don't realize is only about 50% of the water and stuff comes up, okay? Mm. A lot of it, laced with all these chemicals, go down into the ground. They go down into these cracks and fissures, and it has been now scientifically shown that some of them can come back up. They can get into the aquifers. They don't really know where they go. But what comes up is very toxic, okay? So this is a liquid, and they have to separate the gas from the water. And when they do that, there's too much gas sometimes, and they have to burn it into the atmosphere. Now, natural gas is methane, okay? So keep in mind, methane, I've been told, is 200 times more of a greenhouse gas enforcer than carbon dioxide.
Wow.
So even though natural gas burns cleaner at the flame in your house, when you add all the methane that's released into the air, the methane also escapes from the pipelines, it leaks. And the pipelines as well leak. All the stuff is in the film. It's pretty amazing. The sum gain that you think you're getting over coal is actually coal is better, unfortunately, than the result from the fracking.
Wow, that's very interesting. So, yeah, and it's funny because everybody associates like natural gas as something clean, you know, and
that's how
and
it was
pure.
Sold. That
yeah,
was how it was sold,
and things like that. So, is fracking something new, or has it been around for a long time?
Well, they have been getting natural gas out of the ground for many, many years. This process, with all these chemicals and the high pressure and going down and turning horizontally, this has only been, I would say, in the last 15 years, okay? So this form is new, and it is it's extreme, okay? It's an extreme measure. They thought that the natural gas was kind of drying up, and then what was the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania was discovered, and they started doing this, and then there's shales all over. So it's a fairly new process. the health aspects of it. There are many scientists, many people are worried about it. The true health has not been proven yet that it's a good thing. Many people say it's not a good thing. And it's amazing. They do this right on people's doorsteps.
Really? Yeah. That's what I was going to ask, because I thought, you know, if they do it remotely, then it doesn't really affect anybody.
Well,
right? Like in fields.
Yeah, that would be nice if it didn't affect anybody. But right. The truth is, the methane that's released affects us all. Mm. However, they do it in our film. Please come to see our film, by the way, which is playing this week at the Lemley Music Hall 3, and I'll tell you more about that. But you will see that it's within 100 feet of schools, nursing homes, hospitals. They were doing it, I think, at Beverly Hills High School. They had a well there. It's amazing the insensitivity within a few hundred feet of someone's home, where you see these conical-shaped smokestacks belching all these chemicals literally right into somebody's bedroom window. There's a gross insensitivity by the industry. I'm with you. You know, why didn't they just put it way out far away? So, somehow, their attitude is, we own the gas, we can do what we want, and you can't stop us.
Really? So now the government doesn't say anything about this?
Okay.
I mean, because I would think the government would say, well, you can't do it near a school.
You would think. Well, let me give you a little history. Do you remember when George Bush II was president and Dick Cheney was the vice president? Now, you will probably remember that both of those guys were oil guys.
Right.
Dick Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton before that's the company that developed all this stuff, okay? Uh-huh. Do you remember that within about a month or two of Bush and Cheney getting in, they had a secret energy meeting at the White House, and they invited all of the heads of the energy companies, and there was a huge flap because they would not tell anybody who came and what they discussed. It was, you know, the news media was saying, how can you have a secret meeting where you're talking about stuff that affects us all? Well, they didn't tell, okay? Uh-huh. And about a year or so later, in the Energy Act of 2005, it came out that the oil and gas industry had been exempted from all of the environmental laws that were put in after Love Canal, after things like the Clean Water Act, the Clean Drinking Water Act, the Superfund Act, and numerous other things. It's called the Halliburton Loophole. Okay, so these guys said, we need to get this gas. We want to get this gas. We don't care what it costs, what it takes, what the environmental impacts are going to be. So they gave them a pass. So before anybody realized really what was happening, these installations were being put in, like we're saying, right on the doorsteps of people's homes, of nursing homes, of schools, elementary schools. It's very impactful, okay? But they said, there's no regulation. We can do what we want. And that's people finally started to wake up and say, how can they be doing this? Like you said,
right.
How can they be? Isn't the government going to step in? The federal government doesn't step in, which is why people have realized the only power they may have is the local zoning, the local governments, and the local zoning boards have been able to keep them out.
Wow, very interesting. So it becomes a local problem, even though it's a national issue. But you're saying you can get action mostly from going to local authorities.
Well, as you know, the politicians, once they get in, on their very next day in office, they got to start campaigning for their reelections, start raising money, okay? Yeah. There was a study done, and it's in our film, by a group called Common Cause. It's called Deep Pockets, Deep Drilling. And it outlines the millions of dollars paid to the legislators who would support this kind of exemptions, okay, and the billions of dollars in lobbying that was done in order to keep these kind of protections for the gas and oil industry in place. So that's what we're up against. The local officials and the local townships are not being given those same kind of subsidies, okay, and donations. So they're a little more accessible, and oftentimes the local zoning has laws in there that these fracking installations, this heavy industry, makes them ineligible to be there. And it's been successful in many areas, and that's what we see in the film, you can – it's a David and Goliath kind of thing. You can have an impact, but it takes work. It takes activism, and that's what our film kind of portrays.
How do you find out if there's fracking near you?
Well, there's a website called Frack Tracker. Okay. There's another website, a group called Fractivist.com.
That's cute. Fractivist.
Okay. Now, they are based in Colorado, but I believe if you just Google fracking in L.A., you will find out that they're starting to do it in Culver City. At our film, we have panels where some of the experts in what's happening here come. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday night, we have a League of Women Voters is going to be sponsoring our film, and they're going to be having some powerful speakers come. And Thursday night, the Sierra Club is going to be sponsoring our film.
Very nice.
And we'll have a panel there, so you can learn a lot. What I understand from one of the panels the other night is there's a area in town here that they banned it, and then what happened was the industry paid workers to come and lobby the town council until they reversed the ban.
Really? Like,
yeah.
With the excuse of jobs.
They said, these are our jobs, blah, blah, blah.
And, right.
And, you know, studies have been done that the projections of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of jobs this industry is supposed to bring does not materialize, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me just give you one example of what they do and how they get these figures. A crew, which is usually not local to an area. This is very technical, specialized work. The local people generally just get hired as truck drivers, okay,
yeah.
And cleanup people. And in our film, you'll see that some of these cleanup people, they're not being treated well. They're getting sick. They're being exposed to all kinds of terrible things. And there are class action suits going on now with the workers, and you'll see one of those guys in our film. But now I'm going to lose my train of thought.
That's okay. But we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But when did you become involved with this?
Okay. I got invited to a teach-in at a local library. I live in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. All right? And it's about an hour from where they're fracking. Okay. And they may frack in our area, too, because there are different layers of shale. Okay, they may get this, the Marcellus Shale, which was the big one they found, and there's something called the Utica Shale, which is right under where I am. They may get to that eventually. But I was invited to come to a library to hear about this thing called fracking, which I didn't know what it was. Well, at this teach-in, they showed a film by a woman named Dr. Theo Coburn, who is an endocrinologist, a PhD. She recently died, and she did a film called What You Need to Know About Natural Gas Drilling. And it spoke about the chemicals that are used, the water that is polluted that can never be used as water again, which becomes radioactive, talks about the air pollution, the effect on the animals. I was blown away. And I said, how could they be doing this close to populated centers? How could they get away with it? And also at this meeting, there were two community activists, one from a group called ProPublica and one from a group called Community Environmental Defense Fund. And what they did was they helped organize local communities to stand together and keep this out of their community, away from their schools, away from their homes. I was so impressed with these women, okay, and their knowledge and their passion. I said, you know, and I'm a producer. My brother and I have a company called Resolution Pictures. We've been making shows for PBS and the Food Network and National Geographic and the clients like that for about 25 years. We've won a couple of Emmys. So we know how to do that. I said, we've got to do something to help get their voices out because nobody knows about this.
Right.
And that was the beginning of it. And that's how we started.
Very cool. So, I mean, it reminds me of back with Aaron Brockovich and all that, right?
It
was a similar thing where you get a person who is, they become an activist because it affects their lives, you know.
That's right.
And so forth. So did this happen like near where you were too? Did you feel that it was relevant to you?
Well, it is relevant to me because, like I said, the places that it is going on and very heavily impacted. Places, for instance, where one well polluted 32 water wells, right? Wow. in a small area, okay? And all these families all of a sudden for years had no drinking water, okay? Wow. The drinking water, and that's about an hour and a half from where I live, and that's all in the film. A place called Dimmock, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, it's close enough that it really got my attention. But, you know, there's the not in my backyard thing.
Right.
With water and air, it's in everybody's backyard. Right. This, we're all dealing with this. Unfortunately, we're still in a climate that only recently people were still saying, oh, this climate crisis, it's not real. It's some kind of hippie illusion. Well, more and more scientists are saying, no, this is real. The sea level is rising. The temperature is going up. One of the folks who were at our screening the other night is from a group called 350.org. Okay, 350 parts per billion or whatever it is in the atmosphere is the number at which, if you go beyond that, we are causing real damage to the atmosphere. Well, we're up to 400 now, almost 450.
Wow.
So we need to understand what's going on and how everything we do is affecting this. In our film, there's a scientist who says it's very possible that within 15 to 35 years, we're going to start seeing climactic events that we're not going to be able to turn back from. Okay, so this is very important that people understand. That's why it's so important that people come to see our film. We've been told that our film is one of the best films on the subject. Groups are using our film throughout the country, Florida, Colorado, New York State, which just passed a ban, by the way, from the activist dogging Governor Cuomo constantly, no matter where he went, and that's in our film. Uh-huh. Finally, the health study came out and said, this is not safe. We can't do this. California and Jerry Brown have got to get on the stick here.
Well, how are they not getting on that, especially if that pollutes the water and we are without water?
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Water is a big problem here. And I want to tell you something else. The gas industry has been made exempt from all of these new water laws that have been put on in California here. It's
really
crazy. It makes no sense.
No.
Okay? But the outrage that you might feel needs to be spread, okay? We need to have people in Anaheim. There were, and Brown showed up. There were people right there saying, what are we doing about fracking? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? We need the water. How come you are allowing something that allows millions of gallons of water to be used for a single frack for a product, natural gas, that is not even, it's being used somewhat here, but mostly they're shipping it out overseas because it's more expensive overseas.
Right.
So it's a money thing. It's incredible.
It's always about the money.
The country of France has banned fracking, but there are French companies here fracking us.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It
amazing.
Is.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Renard Cohen. The movie is Groundswell Rising, Protecting Our Children's Air and Water. Tell people how they can see the movie.
Okay, well, thank you very much. First of all, I want to let you know that there's our website, groundswellrising.com. On that site, you can see the trailer for the film. There's some great people in the film, too. Mark Ruffalo's in the film. Natalie Merchant's in the film.
Wow.
Incredible scientists and researchers and moms and dads and real people. People are getting harmed. But groundswellrising.com is where you can see the trailer. In L.A. here, we are very fortunate to have been given a theater to have our L.A. premiere.
Very
and that's
nice.
The Lemley Music Hall 3, okay, and that's 9036 Wilshire Boulevard.
Okay.
A beautiful theater. We are screening today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, two shows a day, 12 noon and 7:40 p.m. On Wednesday night, as I said, we will have a panel. That's League of Women Voters night. And on Thursday is the Sierra Club night, and we will have a panel of experts and activists, and I'll be there. And I would like to—we need to fill this theater up. people really need to know about this. So what I'm going to do right here is I'm going to make a little offer. If you're listening today, which I hope you are, for the first five people who come and tell me, I'll be there at the screening at 12, you tell me you heard about it on LA Talk Radio, you'll receive a free copy of the DVD, okay, which is the whole film. There's actually two versions, a 52-minute version that the educational people like for the classes and also some of the broadcasters, and the 70-minute version, which is the full length. Both of those are on there. You will receive, if you tell me you heard about it today on LA Talk Radio, you first five people, same thing for the 740 show. I will be there, and you can get yourself a copy. You can also get a copy on our website.
Right, because I'm thinking many people listen after the fact. You know, yeah. They're going to be listening months after the fact. Right. So you do have a DVD as well.
We do. We have a DVD. It also plays on Russia Today. Television, which is all over the world, so you can see it that way. And it's important to learn about this film and get your local groups to want to use the film, to show it to the local legislators, which is happening in Florida. It's happening all over, and bans and ordinances are being enacted based on people using this film. Sitting there, legislators down saying, watch this film. And most people say, gee, I didn't know that was true. I didn't know they could do it right next door to somebody's house. I didn't know the water is unusable. And speaking of the water, when the water comes up, okay, it's very toxic. It's got all these slickeners and stuff. Somewhat it can be filtered out, and then they use it to frack again. But ultimately it's very concentrated, very toxic. They don't know what to do with it, okay, like nuclear spent fuel. So here's what they do with it. They put it into trucks, and on the east or the middle of the country, they're sending it to places like Ohio and Arkansas, okay, and shoving it into what's called injection wells. Injection wells are old abandoned mines, and you know what's happening? It's causing earthquakes.
Really?
Areas that did not have earthquakes, when they have this millions and millions of gallons of this toxic, slick stuff go in, are having earthquakes, okay? Now that has been scientifically validated. If you just Google fracking and earthquakes, you will, of course, in California, they don't care about earthquakes or water. Yeah. I know, it doesn't really matter here.
Nor do we care where it comes from.
But we do care about electric cars.
Right.
Well. Well, and that's interesting, because in our film, also is a scientist named Mark Jacobson, and he's from Stanford. And he was asked in 2009 by Scientific American to do a study, he and a colleague from UC Davis, to see, could we power the Earth on sustainables alone? And according to their research, he said, yes, we can. And he's talking about it in our film. We could get off fossil fuels. It would not mean a really significant change in our lifestyles. The resources are there. The technology is there. What it's going to take is the political will to do it.
Right.
So
And solar energy, too. You know, I mean, that's like so clean, and wind energy and so forth. You know,
we're so far behind. Behind Germany. We're behind many places because we're still under the thumb of the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's another thing is interesting to know the subsidies. The oil and gas industry are one of the biggest subsidized industries that we have in this country.
Really?
The subsidies to sustainables are minuscule compared.
Right.
So there really is no great push. Right. Because of the hold of the oil and gas industry.
Right. And they don't necessarily need subsidies. I mean, they make like billions and billions of dollars.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's another good point. In our film, we do have some commercials from the gas industry. Because we wanted to represent the other side a little bit. We have Governor Hickenlooper from Colorado, who's a big oil they're fracking for oil there, too, just like they do in California. And he's a big proponent of it because he's in the pocket of this industry. Well, people say, how come you don't have more representatives from the other side? And I say, these guys have millions and millions of dollars to get their point across. The people who are fighting it generally are unpaid.
Right.
They don't have money for commercials. They don't have money for to pay people to spread the message. So we're trying to tip that balance just a little bit more.
Right.
I remember I actually learned about fracking in an episode of Rizzoli and Isles on TNT.
Well, wherever you learn it, it's fine, you know, as long as you know what it's about. And I do see the reason for concern, you know. I mean, to me, it's just been like white noise in the background, fracking this, fracking that. But I think once you stop for a moment, and really realize it's, you know, it's a catastrophe what's going on here, you know. If the government is you know, is turning a blind eye to this, this is terrible.
It is terrible, and you do really need to understand the many layers of what's going on in this. And there is an institutionalized insensitivity that the industry has shown. The reports that we get and the folks that we interviewed in the film have told us that, first of all, the landmen, when they come to your place to want to sell you a lease, they're not truthful. Okay, what they say is, oh, we're going to frack on your land. Don't worry about it. You'll never even know we're here. You'll be left with a little pipe that comes out of the ground and a little, you know, you'll never even know. Well, what we show is what you're inviting in is a big industrial factory. Okay, and when they're finished with the fracking process and they leave, the big tower leaves, but it's not a little pipe. There's huge tanks, okay, and smoking things that continue to make noise 24 hours a day. It is not like they tell you, okay?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of disingenuousness. People don't make the money. There are some people who make some money, but most people are, when all is said and done, they're not making lots of money from the fracking on their land, and oftentimes their land, the value of it is diminished. They can never sell their home again. They can't get homeowners insurance. They can't get a refinance. Because the bank says, well, you got one of these next door or on your land. We don't know if your water is going to go bad. How can we give
that's
you
a
mortgage?
That's a way to appeal to people.
That's uh-huh. You'll see it in a film. In our film, it's happening, okay?
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
Yeah.
We deserve better than this. We supposedly pay taxes to have these organizations like the EPA protect us from these things. We've been sold out.
Yeah.
We were asleep at the wheel. And now it's going to take a groundswell of understanding to get a little back.
Right.
And that's what this whole thing is about.
Awesome. We're talking to Renard Cohen. The film is Groundswell Rising. You guys can find out more information at groundswellrising.com. Buy the DVD there. Find out about screenings and so forth. You also released a CD. And before we run out of here, I wanted to play at least a portion of one of the songs. So tell us a little bit about that. How did this CD come about?
Well, I'm actually a musician and composer. When my brother and I started Resolution Pictures, I actually started from doing music for a series that we were doing, some films that we did, a special for PBS. So I started doing some music for that and then got so involved in the other aspects of producing that I haven't been able to do much. But I decided to write a theme song called Groundswell Rising. About the whole area of standing up and protecting our water, our air, not just from fracking, but in general, okay? And that's what this tune is. So I put together a CD called I See a Groundswell, which contains the theme song for the film, which you'll hear a little bit of, that plays at the end of the film under the credits, and there's 9 other of my songs on there as well. So you can get that at iTunes. You can get it at my music website, renardcohen.com. It'll be up very soon. So that's it. You know, music is a great communicator, obviously. And we need some anthems.
Right. So you're quite multi-talented, musician, filmmaker, so forth. All right. Well, let's hear a little bit of Groundswell Rising. And we'll be back right after this.
Big old change a coming, rolling through the land, marching feet a drumming to beat the band. Power comes from caring, a simple helping hand for the sanctity of living, no matter where you stand. I see the groundswell rising, it's the beating of my heart. light of giving, or will the fertile fields be scorched? And do you hear that baby crying, begging for a drink? Will we say it's too expensive, 'cause it's owned by corporate name? I see a groundswell rising, it's the beating of my heart. There can be no compromising when we're called to do our part.
Groundswell rising, Renard Cohen. That's very, very cool. You know, I mean, you capture the idea pretty much in the lyrics, and the song is you know, it's catchy.
Good.
It's catchy. It's good.
You so, can dance to so it. You wrote, 78. Yeah.
You wrote the lyrics and the music.
I did. And that's me singing. And we had some great musicians come in and play along in a recording studio there. The rest of the CD is me playing by myself or with myself.
Right.
But yeah, that I'm really happy with the way that came out. And I'm glad you liked it.
Very
thank
cool.
You.
Now, I did want to ask about, what did I want to ask about? I totally forgot. But, about documentaries. They're not that easy to get people to go out to the theaters to watch those, right? I mean, it's probably going to do better at home.
Well, you're right. It's not that easy. But there's nothing like seeing a film in the theater
yes.
with a group of people with the real sound. It's beautiful,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when people watch this film in a group, you hear people oohing and aahing. And, you know,
right.
when they see people who've gotten sick or they see somebody winning, you know, you can actually hear the response. Or when the camera pans from a house and then just tilts up and you see this just giant drilling rig right behind their house, you hear people go, oh, like that, because they can imagine it in their own, and they don't want it. So it's a very nice thing to see the film in a real theater. Yes, at home is
right,
great,
right.
But come on
but
out. To
yeah,
the
we'd like people
theater.
To go out and see it at the theater and, yeah, and get involved in all this. This is very fascinating stuff. And is there anything positive coming out of this? I mean, anything positive in the film at all that you can show?
Well, yes. There are a lot of positive things. There are towns, like I said, and you see it in the film, townships that have gotten together. They've done petition drives. They've gone to their local town boards who have supported them and passed bans. New York State has passed a ban. On fracking, okay?
Yeah.
And that was a pretty pitched battle, and people were actually taking pledges throughout New York State, which said that if fracking is allowed, we are going to do everything nonviolent, but that is possible to stop this, which means getting arrested, which means laying down in front of trucks. And you'll see some of the people in the film who are willing to put themselves on the line. And it's such a, you know, in New York State, the water, just like here, is so important. They happen to have good water, and their industries, like here, the wine industry, the tourist industry, everything depends on the atmosphere and the being clean and healthy. So there was great pressure put on Cuomo, who delayed letting the fracking in till a health study was done, and finally they came out and said this should not be allowed. Okay, so we see that in the film. All
great.
Right,
great.
It's a positive thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just the purpose of the film is positive, to get people to actually think and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Renard Cohen. The movie is Groundswell Rising. You can go to that website, groundswellrising.com, find out everything else. You can also, if you're in LA, you should check out the screening at the Lamely. You can buy the DVD. I would imagine the CD too on your website. And
please come out to the theater. We need people in those seats. We need people understanding about this, and this is the best way to do it. So we'll be here at the Lamely tonight. This afternoon at 12, tonight at 7:40, same thing the next night, all the way till Thursday evening, the 21st, May 21st. So please come and see me.
Sounds good. And you live here in L.A.?
No, I live
in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
In the Poconos.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just visiting us.
I'm here on a mission.
Awesome. Well, Renard, thank you so much for joining us. Very interesting stuff. We're, I think, a lot more enlightened than we were an hour ago.
Thank you.
So that's good. And much success with the film. You know, hopefully we'll see more work from you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Jen, have a great, busy, relaxing day. You probably need some rest.
I have a photo shoot.
Okay. So much for resting.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.